Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping the meat in the middle of the squared circle and the stories they tell in the process, brother. I'm, of course, GB. You got Matt. You also have Jake. And today, Jake is sick. And today we are going to be talking about all the things happening in pro wrestling. And you're probably thinking, whoa, what's going on? Things look a little bit different. That's right, because this is our mega show era. That's how I'm dubbing it. Everyone's allowed to, wrestling's allowed to have eras.
This is like the SmackDown Super Show.
Pretty much. And now, unlike the SmackDown Super Show, we're hoping that this actually works out for the long term. So basically, what we're doing here is combining everything. If you're a longtime Rebook listener, we did this before. The show used to come out on Wednesdays. It's always come out on Wednesdays. That's been the thing since we've started this freaking operation. And then we started to release more content. And it was, you know, in an attempt to try and like spread things out a bit more. And, you know, when you're just four people doing this, it's exhausting. So we're going to, you know, bring it, tone it down. But it's also not going to change the quality of the conversations, the things that we're going to be covering. If anything is going to help streamline things, make it make a bit more sense, make it a bit more cleaner. And if you have feedback, you can always just join us on our Discord and leave a little bit of feedback in the suggestion box. Right. So there you go. Hopefully it's not that you hate the graphics, because that would hurt. That would hurt. Worked on that one over the weekend.
He worked so hard.
You know, it was a tough one. It was a tough
one. If you don't like him, just don't say anything.
Yeah, you could just not say anything.
And that GB would be, is about to shatter.
That would be lovely. Thank you so much. Crushing. Yeah. All right.
I love it. I legitimately love the way it looks.
Thanks. No, I appreciate it. We also did updates to the logo because it kind of needed a little spruce up. If we ever want to put it on a shirt or on a hat, you know, I just want to make it easier to print. So like two-tone colors typically work out a little bit better. I did graphic design stuff when I was in. I actually went to school for graphic design. It was my passion at one point in time.
In high school, I worked at a screen printing shop.
Wow.
Yeah, like screen printing t-shirts and jerseys. And,
yeah.
So I also know. You can print. I also know that that's how you need to design stuff.
And when I was in high school, I drove a Zamboni. So with our powers combined,
we can run Leslie Knope's political campaign. I think we have an opportunity here, guys.
Get on your feet.
Exactly. We can print banners, t-shirts, make logos. You drive a Zamboni. Yeah. I think everything else is good. It's good. All right, everyone. So there you have it. Rebook 2.0, as I've been writing it in all of the different things, as I've been saving everything, all the files, or as we've been calling it, the mega show. And it will continue to be that until, you know, otherwise. That being said, let's go ahead and move on, because we got a lot to talk about, fellas. First things first, let's go ahead and jump in to Matt's world. Oh, talking about some DNA, because Against All Odds is this weekend. Matt, this thing crept up really quickly.
this happens. I don't always love it necessarily, but it's just, it's the way our taping schedule, because again, everything is live for us yet. We're still maybe working on it. But I think it's only once or twice a year where we have to go basically from like PLE, 2 weeks of TV, PLE, and then we usually have like a full month build, sometimes 6 weeks to the next pay-per-view or whatever it is. So this is one of those, but I think we've done a pretty good job, generally speaking, of building, even if we don't have the longest term stories heading into those, we built some really fun matches. But this one, and this topic we're going to talk about right now, has actually been building up for the last, ever since Rebellion, really, post-Rebellion, and Robert Stone showed up to TNA from NXT to review the performance, if you will, performance review of Director of Authority, Santino Marella.
I love it. I think we haven't really had like a authority storyline in a while, You know, yeah, like I'm just saying, like across like the broad spectrum of pro wrestling, like everyone's kind of shied away from those stories because they've been very overdone. It's been done for a while. But I like the way that they're doing this because I actually do think that there are a lot of ramifications, right? Like a lot of really smart and clever ways that they could go about approaching this. Like, for example, Tessa Blanchard's aligning herself a lot with Robert Stone. Robert Stone clearly being the, you know, insurgent from NXT coming in, trying to like take over. That is good because it's good for her. Continues to just put more heat, just gets her like more and more like in that, okay, she's clearly picked her side kind of deal. And I want to see how that story manifests itself. But I also think that you do need, you need someone for a guy like Steve Maclin, for example, to bounce off of, I think. You know, that's I don't know why I'm highlighting Steve Maclin, but he's the one I immediately like think of.
Who is he bouncing off of?
What do you mean? Like Robert Stone, like a bad guy, like Robert Stone, a bad guy villain, right? And a guy like Steve Maclin.
So wait, you're jumping ahead in time. You're presupposing one Robert Stone is winning authority here.
Oh yeah, I'm so sorry. I should have prefaced that. Robert Stone is gonna run TNA at least for a couple weeks. I think it's gonna happen. I don't know. That's my theory.
Does he have like hiring and firing capabilities? Like, do you need to be concerned?
Yeah, this has been a point
by which I mean Tom. Does Tom need to be concerned?
Tom's been very concerned this entire time. He was very, from the minute he walked in, he was very much like, how did this guy just walk over here and like start like making matches and banning people from ringside and stuff like that? To the point where like the badge story, man, was clarified. He got his badge. Own badge. Sheriff Stone.
Sheriff Stone.
He's the sheriff.
That's so good.
But from a story, yes, from a story perspective, he does not have full power, obviously.
Yeah.
But more or less, the background on it is he weaseled his way. He brown-nosed his way to the heads of the TNA quote-unquote board or Anthem, whoever you want to, you know, the parent company execs on the corporate level. He gussied up to them, and they allowed him to, like I said, give him like a performance review. He's there to kind of check, you know, red mark, check the list on how Santino is doing. So he has like limited day-to-day ability to adjust things that Santino has made, you know, like, oh, you made this match. Well, that guy's not allowed at ringside, or, you know, you can't make this match. That title's no longer on the line. A little more day-to-day simple things. I don't think he's full on signing contracts.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. He's day-to-day Jim, not big picture Mike.
Exactly. He's middle management through and through.
Okay. So then I guess for me, though, from like the story perspective, I would have to ask, like, if he were to lose, I'd have to say, well, what would have it been for, right? Like this kind of like story that they've been telling. Like, he kind of comes in here, he forces his way. Like, yeah, sure, Santino could say like, yeah, I'm taking over, but like, one has to wonder, right? Like, they're allowing this match. Like Santino and Robert Stone have to answer to, you know, a higher authority, right? Boss's name that was on NXT. I'm so sorry.
Carlos,
yes, right?
Sure.
So they have to answer to him. Right? And he greenlit this match. One has to start questioning the allegiance of Carlos and what's going on in the world of TNA. That's where I am. It's a conspiracy. That's where I'm standing.
I think this whole thing is kind of a microcosm of the story of WWE and TNA.
At large, yes.
Yeah. And it feels a little obvious, a little telegraphed, but it's still fun. I think, like, I think what it does is it, like, it's we're painting this picture of this authority figure, which, like you said, who the hell has given him authority? Well, they've just taken it. He's just assumed authority. Right. And I think that this can be really fun, that it can show like the underdog mentality of TNA and how, like, you know, NXT's coming in here and causing some problems. Robert Stone's going to be an issue. Trick has won the title. who else knows what's going to happen. Yeah. And that it's we're really going to start to see this build. I think of it's going to get dark. It's going to get darker before the dawn.
Yeah.
Because it always does. And that's how it should go. This needs to get worse. So that's why I think Robert Stone has got to win for this story to really mean anything and to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And then you start to see TNA fighting back, getting their championship back, claiming their territory and being like, no. You know, we're on the NXT TNA. We're on the same level. This is not a, you know, this is not a hostile takeover like you're trying to make it.
Yeah.
And I think that could be a really fun story. Cause I think you can see a lot of like, it's kind of like a reverse. I mean, it's a hostile takeover angle. It's reverse invasion, you know? Yeah. And I think you can really see a build of some, for some people like Steve Macklin and even Mike Santana, yeah. Like build them up even more. It was great to see him on NXT for the first time. And he got a really great reception too.
And so. He's fighting for the title tonight. Why at the night we record this, you know, after it comes out, obviously you all at home will know the result of that match as we head into this weekend. But the thing I want to kind of focus on is from a performance level, this has honestly been one of the most consistent and like up and down stories we've had in recent weeks. There's been a lot of really quick things. I think like this and the Order 4 stuff has actually been pretty good. But as far as characters and their, like, we're seeing a different side of Santino. He's very colorful and comic and entertaining. And even when he's laying down the law, he's mispronouncing names. And you know what I mean? It's always kind of a, aw, shucks. But like, I request people to go back 1 or 2 weeks ago, watch the debate he had with Robert Stone. Robert Stone is such a good heel. He's smarmy. He's arrogant. One-on-one heel. So you get to have some really great foil with him. And Santino, he's brought some like real fire in, and all this stuff with his daughter. That's it's finally getting a chance to like come out and not kind of pretend they're not family. We're not doing that song and dance. It's like we've acknowledged it and blah, blah, blah. And now like he's really dug into that. And like, and some of these promos he's done, he's really found a different level of performance, and it's felt much more real than I think anything he's done in his career. So it's really cool from a dynamic character presentation, and where we go from here, I do not know.
And yeah, I mean, people, he looks great in the ring, man. I just wanted to say
that. Yeah. He still moves. People so often see him as a, you know, just a comedic wrestler, and he is a largely comedic wrestler, but when he wants to go, he can go. I mean, still to this day, one of my like favorite memories, honestly, kind of just in wrestling period, was 2012 Elimination Chamber.
Oh yeah.
When it was just down to him and Daniel Bryan for the World Heavyweight Championship. And that crowd, I mean, was just in the palm of their hand, because everybody was like, oh my God, can Santino do it? Like, it was.
Oh yeah.
Makes it you wonder why they never so actually did fun. It, you know?
It was like so fun. Well, the guy in charge. But we, yeah, like, we got to see, you know, the kind of thing that Santino really is capable of, and him, it's great seeing him come in here and look just as good now as he did then.
Dude, he's like a legitimate, like, he trains, I don't know how much he competes or anything, he trains like judo and like MMA and like Greco. I don't know what, I know he does a bunch of like actual like combat and wrestling and stuff in his training. Outside, he did a Josh Barnett like blood sport thing in Japan last year, I believe.
Damn.
And so like yeah, no, he and he wrestles from time to time on different shows. So like, yeah, he's kept up. He's in incredible shape and is like, he's legit. You don't mess with Santino.
Yeah, he really is one of the greats, is for a variety of reasons, because a man takes anything, turns it into gold, and you always got to respect that.
Hell yeah.
I'm curious what happens to him when or if Robert Stone wins at Against All Odds. Like, I'm curious what happens there. How does he play into this? I'd like to see Santino do a little bit more in-ring stuff before he probably hangs it up. Maybe that's a little bit of what this is, you know, signifying, but we'll see. But yeah, I think the story here is very interesting and it sets up a lot of things. And I actually wanted to take a second before we move on to go through what the card is. You hear me? I'm an esports guy. What the card is going into this. So now on NXT, which is tonight as of this recording, there will be there's a championship match between Mike Santana and Trick Williams, right? But this is also set up, so it seems like Mike Santana can also go into Against All Odds as a champion defending against Trick Williams. Who knows what could happen, although I do
well
think
it's
Trick...
Elijah versus whoever wins tonight.
Oh, it's
so Elijah's okay, in the so match
this,
regardless.
So this graphic is okay. So
yeah,
copy that. So it's a singles match between Elijah and whoever wins tonight. Okay, copy that. So it could be Mike, it could be Trick. Got it. Yep. So I think it's going to be Trick more than likely, but we'll see. That being said, though, I don't think that I don't see Trick losing this belt right now. So
it doesn't. It historically would not. You would not think, but. Live TV, folks, they get to be live every week, so crap happens on the ground. You never know.
This is true. That is very true. That is very true. Then we have the TNA Knockouts World Championship. Masha Slamovic will be going up against Li Yang Li. And this one kind of just came after Li had, like, a really good match, and then Masha came out, and there was, like a little challenge.
Masha just basically called her out, which is like, you're a badass.
Yeah.
Fight me for the title.
It'd be a good match. You know, Lee's been having some great brawls on TV lately, so we'll see what happens. Then we got Joe Hendry versus Frankie Kazarian. This kind of picks things up where they left things off, right, Matt? Is that the read coming into this?
Yeah, I mean, essentially this, excuse me, after Under Siege, they had a little bit of a backstage confrontation, just about everything heading into that Battleground match with Trick. And then since then, you know, Frankie is what was persona numero uno to call Joe out for losing the title, using an incredibly underrated curse word on Twitter, calling Joe a dipshit. And like, it is a wonderful insult that I think doesn't get used in modern parlance enough. Sure. It's got the duh, it's got the p, and it's got the shit.
Yeah,
it's just it's I used it a lot when I was in like sixth grade, but it's we need to bring it back. So
we really
thank
do.
You. Thank you, Kaz.
You got to simplify, like, the best trash talk and the best insults are the ones that are just like straightforward, just cut right through the noise, just get to you. You know, dipshit, great. And you know what? Yeah, Joe Hendry kind of was a dipshit. He lost the team.
I mean,
is my man wrong? You know, so I will say, that being said, I think this is a Frankie night. I want to believe Frankie's winning at Against All Odds. Are we anyone else disagree?
No, I kind of think that we're going to maybe continue to see the downfall of Joe Hendry a little bit here. And he needs to start believing in himself again.
Perhaps.
I think that could be fun.
Damn.
Maybe. Wait a minute. Is he, you know, could he be like Tinkerbell, like the louder we clap, like the better he performs during matches? No,
I have always
that?
Wanted that.
Yeah. I like that.
I mean, to be fair, that's literally what happens anytime somebody's in a hold and you hear the
exactly. So
that's literally the Tinkerbell thing from the play.
I think what they should do is have like a Joe should bring out a Believo-meter. And this is like a meter of how much the audience is believing in him at that moment in time.
Faithometer.
Yeah, a faithometer would be amazing. And then that, guys, you have your new gimmick. Okay, so let's dive into some AEW news because, you know, there's been some movement. Don't know if you know, big pay-per-view just happened for AEW called Double or Nothing. Had one of the craziest matches that I've ever feasted, we've ever seen. We talked about last week on the show in Anarchy and Arena, but it also had two incredible finals matches for the Owen Hart Foundation Cup. And we got to hear from the two winners, Mercedes Moné and Hangman Adam Page on Dynamite. Let's start first with Mercedes first, I guess. And you know, even though that kind of closed the show, we could start with that one.
Sure.
Just because that I think that our theory is still holding true. I still believe that this is the path that we're on, but and our theory is, in case you're just watching for the first time, is that Mercedes Moné is going to lose her titles as she makes her way to All In, and she's essentially going to crash out, and then at All In she will win by desperate means, whatever the case may be, because she desperately needs to have belts, because what is a CEO if not with, you know, the championship? So that's the theory right now. Did anything from this promo, from that segment between them, give you thoughts that maybe they're not going to go that route? Maybe they're going to go a more traditional, I want to be better than you angle?
It's too early to tell. I think that there wasn't much from this. It was a pretty standard, like, toe for toe, right? They both teased each other's finishers kind of thing, but I almost got you, I'll see you down the road. Like, it was very, yeah, like step one. There was no, you know, Tony being very Tony, kind of being very intimate, and as an intimidation factor almost. She's a little strange, but she's a little, like, a little close, too close for comfort. And
yeah,
Mercedes is a smarmy heel, and it was first contact, if you will.
Yeah.
Even though there have been a couple of promos where, like, Tony was watching during the Owen or something like that, but this was, yeah, truly like first contact between these two characters. So I think I don't think we got a really good idea of where this is going. I think that's okay. I think it's okay to just have that first, like, so I'm facing you. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
What would you guys like to see come out of this? You know, outside of, like, what our theory is, you know, would you like to see anyone else get involved? Does Mercedes, like, rope someone in, you know, because I don't know if.
Please, no.
No. No. Right.
OK, I don't want anyone involved in it. I don't want anyone involved in the match.
Yep.
Because this needs to be about Mercedes and Tony. That's
and
it.
Especially, I think, given the men's situation, looks like it will probably involve many people with the Death Riders and Will and Swerve and all this stuff. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But, like, given that that'll be a probably brouhaha of personalities all kind of end gaming on the Death Riders or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be multiple personalities for sure.
Now, that said, I think you can still weave in some B and C stories with it. I just don't think they need to affect the main story of Tony and Mercedes in their match. Like if we wanted to do our thing, you know, where Mercedes is going to drop all the titles. I mean, to me, you have Tony go to these younger talent and talk them up and be like, well, why is she getting these opportunities? And why, you know, she's held the title. You could be the one to dethrone her and blah, blah, blah. And use that as a means to get in Mercedes' head. You could use this to build up other younger talent.
Yeah.
Put the TBS championship on somebody new.
Yeah.
You know, so there are things you can do, but as far as, like, this segment goes, I mean, yeah, it was pretty boilerplate, which is fine. I don't think that we need to immediately take off with this. I think we can kind of slow play it and just see where it goes, how the audience responds to things, and just kind of go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely feel like, much to what you guys are saying, not just too early, more just wanted to see anything you guys caught that maybe I had missed, because there's always those little bits, right? I definitely think that Tony's going to have a lot of fun to what you were saying, Matt, about how she was, like, invading Mercedes, like, personal space. They're going to have fun with that. And clearly, like, I'd even like to see it go to a way where, like, Mercedes kind of likes Tony, and maybe there's something that happens there. You get, like, a MJF Adam Cole type of situation, not necessarily to that degree, because it just seemed right now that it was like, I want to be better than you, but I want to be better than you. And then she sniffed her.
The two of them are more alike than they would probably care to admit.
Exactly.
And I think that's going to lend itself to some fun storytelling moments for sure.
Yeah. And also, Tony keeps putting herself in these situations where she's, you know, fighting, you know, these big matches, you know, like these eliminator matches, and she's winning, and she's so it's clearly like a dominant champion putting her title up for grabs versus a champion who has not put her title up for grabs. Dun dun dun! Sounds like the recipe for a little storyline. I don't know. That could be very interesting. I would not be shocked if that is like what if a promo goes in that direction where it's like, hey, I've been defending my title every week. You don't ever, you know. And then Mercedes is like, well, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
that happens, boys. We're going playing the lottery. Okay.
Hell, well, yeah, and we're all getting We Called It hats.
We're all getting We Called It hats. Yeah, we really do got to get We Called It hats, and we also have to get hard ass hats as well. However that means. We need
hard ass hats.
Yeah, you remember
Andy's hat. Andy used to wear one. Let me put on my hard ass.
Put on the hard ass hat. It was just a butt right on the thing. Well, of course, there was other things that had happened on that episode of Dynamite, because we also got more movement with the men's side of things, where Hangman Adam Page came out to talk about, you know, the upcoming challenge, and then Swerve Strickland showed up, and then Will Ospreay showed up. And I got to say, this was one of my favorite promos from Will. I really enjoyed it. Like when he goes to Swerve and says, it wasn't you, it's not me, it's him. And like the crowd reaction and the way, because like that is a very like on the nose way of saying it. But that is like the meta that we've been kind of talking about, the meta example that's been resting above this, Jake, right? It's that Hangman has been traditionally the guy for AEW, so it would make sense that he's the guy in this situation. What'd you make of the promo?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. I mean, we see it in sports all the time, where it's just like you see great players, you see great teams, but it's just not their time yet. Yeah. You know, it's just not their time. Like the Knicks, for example.
Oh, don't do that! Don't do that. That is just messed up. That is
I don't know how you fire your coach after getting to the conference finals today. But anyway,
I think it's
sometimes, you know, great champions recognize that. Yeah. And Ospreay did, you know, and it's not to say, I mean, look, like these are honestly the big three of AEW as far as the men's division go.
Yeah. Right now, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they need to be on the same page, but they just need to not be adversarial with each other.
Yeah.
You know, they just need to get along. You can kill each other later. You know, it's like Hulk and Thor fighting,
the thing is, we think that they would get along, but then I don't know if you guys saw Collision, but then Will Ospreay went out to talk to Swerve, and then they just threw hands. They just fought. Mm-hmm. They just beat the crap out of each other. So I expect a match, which, whew, that's going to be awesome. But I expect something there, Matt. But yeah, I mean, I think like this is a really cool way to kind of approach this, right? It's a very on the nose, like this is the hero we have to rally behind. But I like how obvious it is, right?
Well, I mean,
or for you, what is your
what do you mean by obvious? Take?
And well, I like how like clear it is. It's very like Hangman is the guy. Hangman is right. You know, like there's a very like when Orange Cassidy was fighting the Death Riders, it was like I got to do this on my own, right? It was very like, you know, it was like a different story being told there, whereas this one just feels very, very clear. It's, you know, here's the lone cowboy, the good guy who's going to go here and ride, you know, or lead the cavalry to victory or whatever the case may be.
Right.
You know, do you like this? And do you think there's an opportunity? Maybe that should he fail? Like, is that appealing, or do you just want this to be done at this point? You know?
No. I mean, I don't want him to fail. But I think you have a good opportunity to tell a really good story. And I loved this promo. I loved this whole segment. You set up so many different dynamics. And I love Swerve and Hangman. I'm struggling at the moment to think of anything in AEW that has been a more consistent story and told consistently.
It's Tony Storm and Mariah May. And but these guys are longer.
No, this is longer.
Yeah.
This is still going. And the idea that they're still on camera, they still have the same, like, we're not forgetting the past. So many times when like a character goes from a baby face to a heel, they might have like a, oh, I remember that, but I respect you now kind of a, no.
Yeah.
This is not, I love that Swerve is still like, they've had their little bit of moments of like, we're not killing each other now, but I have not forgotten the hell that you put me through and everything like this. And Will's trying to be that classic, like, baby face of like, all right, we have to just respect each other, kind of a white meat. Yeah. To his detriment, quite frankly, even as an audience member, I'm kind of like, Will. But Swerve's like, no, like, I may not kill him right now, do whatever, but I will never help him.
Yeah.
Screw that guy, at least for now. Yeah. And that's a journey we're going to have to go on, which is really cool.
I never want them to mend it. I never want them to mend it because it's more compelling, I think. I think if they're like...
I think there's a world where they do, but then it's fragile and then like, and then it can break at any time and you can go back to, I love relationships like that. And so I think there's a lot you can do. And Swerve is a very volatile, these are all very volatile personalities. And it's like this, like Will was trying to say, we're going up, or like this company, this brand is going up against the united front of the Death Riders and all the crap they've done for almost a year now or whatever it was. We cannot let this crap happen, but this crap is going to happen for the next 5 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then I mean,
they come together.
Yeah. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And that's all that Will really should have said has been like, look, Swerve, you don't have to like it, but you are going to have to accept it. That Hangman might be the guy. And we got to get it off the Death Riders.
Yeah.
You know, just don't kill each other now so you can kill each other later.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Just
that's it.
Just keep it together. Like, you don't have to be friends. You don't have to like each other. Just keep it together. Just keep your cool and keep your head until the second the bell rings. At All In.
Yeah.
After that match.
Yep.
And then whatever. I would love to see something like maybe Swerve does get involved and does help Hangman in some capacity. And then if they have that kind of moment that they had, like at WrestleMania with Cody winning and everybody's out there, rah, 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 yay, we did it. We beat the big bad. And then Swerve immediately drops him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just drops him and leaves the ring and is like, now you know where we stand. You got it. But this is done.
Yeah.
You know, hit him with one house call and leave.
I also think too, though, that like we didn't really get the true fallout of Anarchy in the Arena, right? Like Anarchy in the Arena happened and then, you know, Hangman won. And then the focus really went on to Hangman and what happened there. But like, you know, Swerve was responsible for Moxley and the Death Riders losing that matchup. They locked them in there. Like all that happened, right? I can't imagine that there's a world where like the Death Riders just move on from that. So I think that there's going to be something that kind of ropes Hangman in to help out Swerve because the Death Riders are like maybe going to go too far or something to that extent. Like that's, I think that could be pretty compelling if they wanted to go in that direction. But there are a lot of pathways that they could take. I do like the idea of Will Ospreay being the white meat babyface glue. Cause the thing is that like, if he is the guy who kind of brings it all together, that's a cool thing too. Right. Because remember, like people coalesced around Cody at WrestleMania, but like Seth Rollins was like a big part of like the hey, sure. We got to stop this guy. This is too much. Roman needs to end, and everyone's like, oh yeah, but you were responsible for it, blah blah blah. But Seth still holds.
Look where that took him.
It's very true, right? He's becoming the thing that he hates the most. But I think in Will Ospreay's case, the people are rallying around Will, which I think is very interesting. So it's like, I wonder how they play with that down the line too. Unless do you guys think, or do you think I'm reading?
Well, it's like Cap being the leader, but Iron Man was the one who had to snap.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like, you know, that's Will in this scenario. Will is the guy who just has to rally the troops, bring the best out of everyone,
yeah,
and then let them do their thing.
Yeah. Oof. This is exciting. We have Fighter Fest this today when this airs. It's going to be a wild show. You got the AEW International 4-way qualifier, Matt, or final, I guess.
God, isn't this the 4-hour show?
This is the 4-hour show. I'm excited personally. I am excited, but I'm also
Fighter Fest?
A weirdo. So, well, Fighter Fest was the first one I got to call. So that was, it's a special event for me.
I want them to hold it on an aircraft carrier so they can call it Fight or Flight.
Or on a plane.
You know,
I mean, sure, but that'll just give us another episode of Dark Side of the Ring that will horrify us. So,
you know what?
How about in one of those zero G planes where they go up and they dive? And
yes.
They go up?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Have you seen the footage of the astronauts who were in that doing wrestling moves to each other? Yeah. It's great.
The guy did the RKO. There was like one dude.
Yep.
Yeah. It was pretty dope. A lot of spears is really cool.
Yeah.
I remember the first Fighter Fest because that was the first show that I got to do with AEW. And they had hired these models because the whole gimmick was it was like playing off a Fire Festival. And as we all know, but in case people don't know, because that was the thing, then they had hired these models. But like the catering, I think, was like Cracker Barrel or something like that. So it was like, hell yeah. Like the models were having like, I don't think anyone was complaining. It was just more just funny.
They better
like,
damn well not.
The juxtaposition between the two.
I would crush some hash brown casserole right now.
I mean, it is delicious. I didn't grow up with it, and then I finally had it. That was actually the first time I had it, and it was really good. Yeah, so it's a big 4-hour show. Lots of things are happening. Thekla is going to be debuting. She did spider stuff. That thing was crazy. My back. I don't know why. That was immediately what I thought of when I saw it. Also, we could be seeing Kyle Fletcher maybe become the new TNT champion tonight, guys. Oh, dun, dun, dun. There's a lot going on. So Fighter Fest is going to be going on. We'll be covering all of that next week. Massive card, 4-hour show. How the hell we're going to cover 4 hours, I have no idea.
We're not.
We're just gonna
pick the best crap that happened, and then we're gonna talk about it. There's no way we're going.
And if you want to talk about everything, what you can do is join our Discord. It's so simple. You click on the description down below, and then you join the Discord, and there you can join a community of people just talking about wrestling stuff. And then we're just talking about wrestling. Okay, we're just talking about the thing that we love. That's it, plain and simple. None of this
and often live wrestling. While it's happening too. There's a great,
we
usually
talking
a great
about
conversation.
Wrestling.
We're talking
not a game.
Wrestling.
We talking about wrestling.
And for our final topic of the week, oh boy, this one crept up on me. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. Money in the Bank is this weekend. A lot of stuff is this weekend. The World's Collide pay-per-view that's here in LA is happening this weekend. I completely.
Money in the Bank also here.
Wait, is that here too? Oh, that is here. Oh yep. My gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's at Intuit. And then AAA is at the YouTube Theater, right? That's like just next to it.
Oh, crap. That's actually.
Not
that
They're
far
not the same
in.
Day, are they? Are they?
Same day. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. AAA starts noon Pacific and then Money in the Bank starts 4 Pacific.
Wow. Okay. Well,
you know what sucks? I gotta work during it.
Oh, dude.
And what's even more frustrating is that I'm downtown and they're not having it at Staples. So I couldn't like I'm literally 5 minutes from Staples where I'm working this weekend.
Yeah.
IGN Fest or IGN Live, by the way. I'll be That's there right. producing, helping produce the event. So if you're come on through this weekend to IGN Live, say hello. We can talk about how bald these two idiots are. But yeah, come on and see.
Unbelievable.
Tried to heal you, and this is how you repay me.
With ginger root.
Who, we don't need to get into it.
Just the ginger root. Matt suggested that Jake heals his stomach with ginger root. Jake took that as fighting words and a borderline hate crime, and the rest just ensued from there. It's pretty amazing. Money in the Bank, fellas. Somehow, though, is this weekend. It is genuinely crept up. Am I wrong in feeling that way? Or is it like...
A little bit, yeah.
I'm wrong for feeling it crept up, or do you feel like it crept up?
No, it did not creep up. You're wrong for feeling like it crept up. They've only been having qualifying matches for the past month.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know why. I mean, I've also been like all over the place, so maybe that's probably.
We're also old, and time passes way faster.
This is true.
Because I'm with you. Like I felt like it was like last week, and we were like, oh, we can't talk Money in the Bank yet because we barely know what's happening, and now like it's here. Yeah, but that was like 3 weeks ago, I guess. But it feels like it was last week that we barely knew the card.
That was it. Yeah, we only had two matches, and then and like they move pretty fast on this one.
Yes, they do.
I will say that I'm not like that excited. I'm like kind of excited. I'm excited-ish. I'm excited to see what comes out of it. I think the matches are going to be pretty good given the participants involved. But the problem is that I'm having a hard time believing that a lot of these participants are going to win. And that's a little unfortunate.
But that's also good then, right?
I guess. Yes.
Do you think there's like one person in each match that's like that's telegraphed?
I think that there's one person in each match who they're possibly telegraphing. And this is kind of my thing. This is why I am interested, is I feel like there are more like dark horse winners that are possible in these. I mean, usually it's like, okay, there's three or four people that you're like, oh, well, of course they'll put it on one of these four people because they're the big names, they're whatever. But like, there's really not. I mean, these are all pretty fresh faces that you could put Money in the Bank, put the Money in the Bank briefcase on.
Yeah.
That would be pretty interesting and fun. I mean, outside of Seth and Alexa and Rhea, we'll say Rhea, outside of those three, like it could go to anybody.
Yeah.
We could have De Niro and El Banco come this Saturday.
Who's wrestling his second match. Oh, sorry. Not his second match of the day, to be fair, I guess. But
No.
Questionably. Earlier that day, wrestling for the AAA Mega Championship.
His foreign exchange student counterpart.
Yes.
Chad
Gable is wrestling on the AAA show, AAA World's Collide show.
Not El Grande Americano. Right. So a couple of things
which is hilarious to me.
Here on this. Firstly, I feel like the only two logical ones here are going to be LA Knight or Seth. I think Seth having it just makes way more sense.
Seth is so far and away the favorite. I think it's like 70-30. That's how heavy a favorite he is.
It's gotta be. Yeah. It's gotta be because it fits, right? Like if you're trying to impose a vision, right? The vision onto WWE and you want to take over, and that's the story being told, what better way to do that than with the Money in the Bank briefcase lingering, Matt?
So the only thing there is, because here's the thing, they're not idiots. They look at that and they probably know like Seth is clearly the favorite. So you could do it. You could have a situation where you bank on that, no pun intended, that he is very, we're talking about a top star. Not only that, a guy who's literally has a faction with two pieces of beef bruising meat in Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed, who can back him up in an ODQ match, like a ladder match.
Yeah.
So, like, it's so obvious that they might play on that, and the idea of Seth's going to win, and then the good guys, your Sammies, your Punks, come out and neutralize him and cost him the match. leading to more conflict for them at SummerSlam or wherever.
Sure.
And that feud continues, and you get it to maybe an LA Knight they're ready to pull the trigger on in the next year. His US title runs, etc.
And then the other option where I would not be surprised if they went with him would be Solo.
Warm cup of oh.
Solo.
Never mind.
Who are you thinking?
Really?
Because it also works in their story as well, I think, with the current situation with Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa, because Solo is very much like positioning himself as like he's getting very involved in everything. He's kind of like inserting himself in like way too many things, especially when it comes to Jacob Fatu. It's caused some issues. He like wanted him to do like another moonsault. There was like, you know, just a basic stuff, right? Of like overzealous, like a team leader, if you will. But the reason why I think that is because it's similar to Seth, right? Like Solo walking around with a briefcase, then kind of readjust the power dynamic between Solo and Jacob Fatu, where Jacob Fatu is now the guy holding the US title, but Solo Sikoa is the future world champion. So I think like there is at least something you can kind of do there if you wanted to go that route.
Throw the graphic up.
Oh, fantasy booking, brother.
You just sparked some juices out of my mind grapes. And I've been struck with citrusy inspiration. So I don't think grapes are a citrus technically.
No,
they're not. They're stone. Not. Are they a stone fruit?
Doesn't matter. I think so.
Maybe, yeah. Today I learned stone
beyond
fruit.
The point. But that I can see a very cool world again, given that tension with Solo and Jacob, and we've talked about Jacob is on the hot streak. He is kind of, I wouldn't quite say rocket strapped up his ass, but he's about ass hair away from having a rocket strapped up as you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
They like him, we like him, crowds like him. Like he is taking off this year, and then especially post Mania, right? He's going full babyface sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not in this match. I like a world where Solo, because I think there's also something to be given to Solo. He's not like a star. He doesn't have a lot of star power. And like, I don't think he's the strongest wrestler in the world, but he's played such a wonderful utility role in the bloodline and then the new bloodline. He's been that personality and that guy to kind of just be that personality to glue things together.
Yeah.
So give him a little bit of a win this match, but I see a world. SummerSlam. Finally, it explodes. Jacob Fatu versus Solo Sikoa, title for briefcase. Whoever wins leaves with both. And Jacob Fatu walks out champion with a future world title shot in his briefcase.
Because
they're so high on him. You can tell he's so hot right now.
Yeah.
Why not just double down by the end of the summer and, you know, maybe come springtime or whatever, Mania season, you pull the trigger on Jacob Fatu. And Solo can cost him the U.S. title somewhere in the next few months after that for retribution, but he still has his briefcase and he's on his way to the main event scene.
I like that.
But consider this.
No.
Consider this. Grapes are classified as berries.
No, no. Damn it, Jake. Damn it.
They're berries. I just looked it up.
That is crazy if they're classified as berries, though.
Berries.
That doesn't feel right. I don't know. That doesn't. We got to talk to science. Can we find science? Get science on the line, and we will ask science what is the proper categorization of grapes.
It's a berry.
I really like that theory, and honestly, here's the thing, right? When you look at these like graphics, and you see like. I know people would say, yeah, but like, you know, Seth Rollins is in the match, right? LA Knight, the megastar. And you're like, yeah, but remember the words of Dwight Schrute.
Who do we most medium suspect?
I most medium suspect Solo. That's...
I don't know. I'm medium suspect Penta.
No, it will not be Penta. Guaranteed.
I don't think it will either, but I medium suspect him.
I think it's interesting. Why do you medium? Why?
Yeah.
Show your work.
I don't think it's Andrade, and I don't think that it's Americano. Bring your graphic up.
Okay.
Bring
your graphic up. Okay.
Seth is too obvious. Like I said, so that's those three. They're out.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like Solo is that likely. I don't. I think LA Knight is probably the second most likely.
I would agree.
And then that would put, to me, that would put Penta third, Solo four, and Andrade, and then Americano. I'd probably do it in that order.
Mm.
Solo's just been such a prominent character, even in the main event scene over the last couple of years.
I just feel like if Seth's not winning, then it's a face.
Okay.
That's kind of how I feel. If Seth isn't the one who's going to win, then a face is going to win it.
Well, does anyone have anything left to add on the men's Money in the Bank match? Nothing left? Nothing left?
Really.
Okay. Because I think this is a good opportunity for us then to talk about the women's Money in the Bank match, because where I slightly
excited about this one,
I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be an excellent matchup, but I slightly disagree because I think that we are going to get the obvious one here with Alexa. So that's we're going to get Solo winning. Or LA Knight, but I think it's Solo. But anyway, I don't want to make the men's about the women. Correlation.
But I could see Roxanne Perez.
I don't think Alexa's as obvious anymore for me.
Because of the stuff going on with Judgment Day and Liv, and what an interesting like juxtaposition. I think we could essentially see a reverse of what happened to Judgment Day last time. I think we could see Liv and Dominic end up being cast out of Judgment Day because of Finn and Roxanne being in cahoots.
Sure.
I could see something like that happening, and her getting that briefcase, gives her some more pull, gives her some more, because like Finn was saying on Raw, you can just be like, she's got the briefcase.
Yeah. There could be a really great moment where can you pull up the graphic again, actually, to Jake's point? There could be a really cool moment if you had someone like Roxanne and Rhea fighting on the ladder, blah blah blah. In comes Liv. Who's she gonna screw over?
Oh yeah.
And it's that how like boom boom they're and she hits Roxanne, and it could almost be a baby face turn for Liv in a way. And
I can see her hitting them both, though. I can see her going. I think that situation is going to play out, and she's going to get both of them. And it's going to and what Liv is more than likely going to do is say, I hate Rhea. You know, I just needed to stop Rhea from winning the match for sure. You were just casualty. You were just collateral damage. I would like that if they went that route, because it'll keep this going for a little bit longer, because then you can have Liv continue to be like, oh, I don't know what you're talking. I don't have a problem with her. I just have a problem with the way she's doing things, stuff like that. But also to your point as well, there's like if WWE wants those moments, and Money in the Bank's a great pay-per-view for that moment. Of Liv having to have that existential crisis of like, oh, who do I choose here? And then she chooses Roxanne. That could also be a fun bit too. So there really are some cool storyline elements with that. I think the only reason why I still believe it's going to be Alexa is
she's so over.
It's because she's so over, and I think they are going to try to do the story that they wanted to initially do with Charlotte and Tiffany, and maybe try it with Alexa and Tiffany, like this whole, the veteran coming in here, trying to,
And then there's, of course, the Wyatt Six, as we said, who just came back. And I think they're doing tag team stuff, I know, on SmackDown, but I think they'll need some more overarching direction, and I think this could play a lot into that.
Is she tied to them? Do we know this definitively?
Not yet, but I feel like that's inevitable.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if not inevitable, I think it's good fodder. If you want it, there's obvious connection there.
Yeah.
The other thing is, less so Julia, but like you can tell there is a love affair with Stephanie Vaquer right now.
Yeah, dude, the fact like, that both she, Roxanne, and Julia are all
shotgunned them all out of NXT recently.
Yeah.
And they like to get, they got the title off Julia. They put it on Stephanie and they're like, we love her. Get it off Stephanie. Get her up here. Get Roxanne up here full time. They like Triple H or whoever just went on a spree of like, we want them all. So they love those.
Let's beef
three.
Up the women's division. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And I'm excited about the three of them being in this because I think the women's Money in the Bank is way more up in the air than the men's.
Way more
because of the talent involved.
You can make
a case for Naomi. You can make a case for every single woman in this, I think.
Yeah.
Every single way, woman. Way more exciting for this one.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think there's two who just are not going to win it.
I feel like that's happened a fair amount now. Where like the women's Money in the Bank has kind of just been the more intriguing one because like they happen to whip up some pretty decent stories because like coming into this one is really wild not to see like the usual suspects in this match, right? Not to see your Baileys, not to see your Charlottes, not to see your Becky Lynch's, right? But yet you're still getting, you know, Rhea, you're still getting Naomi, who's two very familiar faces, as well as obviously Alexa. And these three new additions that, like, I mean, Roxanne Perez is going to be, like, it. You know what I mean? Like, she's going to be it. She's going to have, something's going to happen, and she's going to just, is like a rocket ship to the moon. Because she was great in NXT, and every single time she showed up on WWE TV, she was great. You'd be hard-pressed to find a bad match. She is the prodigy for a reason. And you don't call yourself that unless you, like, truly deliver. And she is pretty damn legit. So and I think like what's even better in this match is that you got Rhea, who as the big, you know, person in the match can really do some wild maneuvers with like everyone else here too, right? I'm excited to see Rhea and Roxanne kind of scrap up a couple of times. Rhea and Julia, oh my god, that's gonna be amazing. So yeah. Okay, so let's solidify prediction for this, because I think we're a little all over the place. We still like don't really know. So let's go. Matt, you want to kick us off with a prediction? I'll go, and then Jake goes.
Sure.
For women's or for men's?
Women's, because I feel like men's were kind of like, we don't know, but we have a good idea. Whereas this one, I feel like it's a little bit more out there. So I want to get us like a good formal prediction.
On this one, I'm gonna go on a little bit of an outside pick. I'm going with Stephanie Vaquer.
Ooh,
that's a.
Yeah. I think some of the other ones have. I think like Roxanne has so much story going on with the Judgment Day stuff. You don't need her to have the prop. She'll be in a main featured story regardless. So I think it could give someone like, and it, I just have a, I can feel. I feel the momentum or like the wave with Vaquer, like just the way she's being booked and everything like that. It's a little bit of a gut thing. And I think that one, again, given the kind of predictability seemingly of the men's, I think they'll go with maybe a little bit of an outside pick for the women's. That's mine. I'm taking a little bit of a swing.
Okay. Stephanie Vaquer for Matt. I'm going to go with Alexa. I'm committed. I do think that there is a world that Naomi can win, but I think that world is much likelier than people are thinking. But I feel like given the reactions and the overall just like appeal, like Alexa Bliss, and especially if you go with a little bit more of an off, which my prediction for the men's is Solo Sikoa, and you go with a bit more of an offbeat bad guy choice, you go with the really big, you know, good guy. So I think Alexa. Jake?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think I've gone back and forth three separate times just while the two of you talked, but I think...
I respect that.
Oh, man. I think ultimately it's probably going to be Alexa, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think that's going to get... I think that's going to get them the reaction that they're wanting out of someone winning Money in the Bank. I think, like, I don't think this crowd is familiar enough yet with Stephanie or Julia, for that matter. Like you said, with Roxanne, she's got a lot of story stuff going on already. I do think you're right. I think Naomi is a dark horse to win this thing.
Yeah,
I really do think that she could. But
do for an accolade of some kind, like post championship winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because
like
she hasn't done anything since.
Yeah.
Since the match at Mania. But I think I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss. I just feel like you mentioning that about Tiffany, because we had that moment between the two of them talking that I thought was really good. And I think we could get a better program out of them, because I don't think Alexa would make it quite so personal.
Yeah.
I think she might be a little more, dare I say, professional in their storyline.
Yeah.
That said, can still get some good stuff because she's so good on the mic. She's just, you know, she's so very good on the mic. So, and she's the type of character that, like, she's a tweener. She can kind of play however you want her to play. She's going to get cheered either way. So I think it gets a big pop when she cashes in.
Yeah. 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 I like where your head's at on that one. For sure. All right. Well, there you have it. Money in the Bank. Those are your big matches, or your big Money in the Bank matches. But that doesn't mean we're done. We're not done yet. We might as well just go through the rest of the card and be done with it. We got one here that is going to be, I would say, relatively straightforward. And that is, of course, going to be Becky versus Lyra Valkyria. This one, the stipulation is that if Becky loses, right? I believe that's what it is. If Becky loses, she cannot challenge for the title again while Valkyria is champion. So we totally know how that's going to play out.
No, we don't.
I'm kidding.
Think we do, actually. No, that's a typical, like, telegraph stipulation usually, right? And it might be. It might be Becky clearly winning. But then I think there is a world, especially given Becky's personality in this heel form and the way she's been cutting her promos, I think there's a world she loses again to the kid, the young kid, right? Mm. She keeps kind of talking down to her. And I think the kid beats her.
Yeah.
And then Becky crashes out and takes her frustrations out on someone else and dives into a, right, whether it's heading towards the world title or whatever. And I think it could go that kind of route.
Interesting.
So I don't think it's as cut and dry as we think.
I like that. I like that. Go
I just it. I just think that there's a big, big, big loose end that we have yet to tie up. And the question is, do you tie it up with the belt or not? Mm. That is Bayley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's been nowhere. Put her face on a milk carton. Where's she been? We hadn't seen her since, you know, before Mania.
Yeah.
And that just that's got to be rectified. That loose end has got to be tied up. I can really see Becky winning.
Oh no, that's it.
And Lyra starting to, like, she's like, oh, you got to hold my hand up. And before she can hold her hand up, Bayley's music hits and she comes out and takes out Becky.
I think it's the opposite. I think you have the classic, they're going, maybe Becky's about to do something. They bump the ref. Becky's about to use a chair or something like that. Bayley music hits. What the hell? That's the opening Lyra takes to pin Becky. And then Becky and Bayley spin off on their own without a title. Lyra goes on to the next challenger.
That's the question. It's how do you want to do it? I still think Bayley's going to come. I think Bayley comes back.
I do too. Yeah. I think you got to.
Gotta be something. Gotta be something.
I think she comes back. I'm going to say Becky, but I would not be upset at Lyra winning because they've done a great job at putting her over. She's done a great job.
She's risen to the occasion.
Herself over. She really has. And I like what I've seen out of her. This extra gear, this anger, as she puts it. I've liked it. And I she's been just like a no bullshit face lately. Yeah. And that's fun. So I kind of do want to see her continue to have that title. And I can also see Becky saying, no, I want her to keep it. Let's just get her and the title over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could say, like, this one feels more like a coin flip to me. Given the match we saw at Payback, like, how can you not think that this is not going to be another fantastic match?
Yeah. Yeah. That is very true. It's going to be a great one. I think it's going to be Becky. But to your point, I'm with you. I'm not disappointed if it's Lyra, but I will be disappointed if there's no movement with Bayley and we're just like moving on. I'm just like, okay, what the hell is going on here? Because
there's a small chance you might see it if it is Becky. There's a small chance you can see it, because sometimes they like to do it like it'll be at Raw the following Monday.
Sure.
There comes Bayley. But yeah. I think it'd be better at the pay-per-view.
That's not all, though. There might be one more match. I don't know what the status is on that. There probably will be, but I as we record this, it's Tuesday, and SmackDown's yet to air, and you never know. They could just add something randomly.
Right now, we just have four, right?
We have four. Yeah.
The two, and then the tag match.
And the last matchup is the tag match for Money in the Bank. John Cena, Logan Paul versus Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso, former tag team champions.
That's right.
Which should matter because they showed a little bit of that, in the latest promo. How are you guys feeling about? And I don't want to single it out, but Logan Paul's placement in this. Does it feel like, based on what you guys saw in that last like promo and stuff, did you like, where were you guys with it?
I mean, it makes sense. It's I think it fits for what they're doing with Cena and everything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, okay, cool.
It fits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where
Ruin Wrestling, this? Baby.
Yeah, so like Ruin Wrestling. Problem with that is, I mean, I'm curious where like how you gotta make good on it eventually, right? So I would imagine. So could we see a world where the heroes lose here at Money in the Bank? Or
I think that's exactly what happens. I think they're going to lose. It's a tag match. There's nothing on the line. Why are you going to have John Cena lose right now?
Unless Cody pins Cena and then sets up like another match, maybe, right?
Possibly.
Just to kind of like keep it going.
With Jake. I think you put the baby faces in jeopardy. I think you put the good guys, this Cena bad guy is going to create a real lull, a real doldrums.
Then you go into Monday where Jay's got to face Gunther for the title.
Yeah. Ooh. Could Jay lose?
He could.
Yes. Yes, he could.
But then, man, ooh. I'm all over the place on this because on the one hand, I'm like, oh, it'd be really sick to see a good guy Gunther going up against, you know, this Seth Rollins new faction, right, as champion. But then it's like,
good guy Gunther, as much as I like the alliteration, is not happening.
Not happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then there's that. Then, you know, like you get Jay loses the title. Oh, man, I don't know. Curious. Do you think he loses? Yeah. Or do you think where are you guys right
now? I don't think he does, but he could. It's more than a most of the time when you have like a TV title match, usually there's shenanigans, something happens, but the champion stays the champion. I would say this is more than a 0% chance like that. I think this is a little bit closer to 50-50, but I still think Jay keeps it on Monday, regardless of what happens at Money in the Bank.
Imagine if Cena challenges Jay for the title.
To try to take both titles?
To unify them?
Yeah, or to just take both of them.
Or just to take them both?
That would be really... I actually wouldn't hate that.
Well, that's what Roman did.
Yeah, that is what Roman did. But I don't know.
Before they unified them just to divide them again.
Yeah, yeah. I don't
and
know.
And then he goes home with both titles... And we can finally have, it's been a minute. We need another home invasion angle where Cody flies down to Tampa, breaks into John Cena's home because John Cena refuses to come to TV. His lawyers got him out of his remaining dates or something, and breaks into his house.
And they institute 24/7 rules. Just
throws him into the pool. You know, tries to feed him to a Florida gator or something like that.
That would be content. I would love that. I mean,
the animal or the athlete, Florida gator.
I'll let your imagination run wild.
Man, there's a lot of directions you can go with that one. So we think the bad guys.
Just start beating Sam. Yeah.
So we think the bad guys are going to be walking away with the win here.
I think so.
Yeah. I'm interested to see who takes a pin, how that kind of plays out into later storylines. Overall fun setup for this. I really am curious where Logan Paul goes out of this.
I don't know.
This feels
he's gonna get a title match.
Yeah, that like he pins Jey Uso and then gets another title match.
He could.
Yeah. That could be the possibility, because John Cena wants to ruin professional wrestling.
You could also spin him off into, because I think Cody's going to need something to do. I don't think they're putting him right back into him and John, even for SummerSlam. I don't really see it. It's possible, but a match we've seen yet, Logan Cody. That's a marquee match.
We had Logan SummerSlam. Cody.
Have we?
I think it was a Saudi pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Logan Roman. Yeah.
No, I think he fought Cody at a Saudi pay-per-view as well.
You're probably right.
Let me see here, but I could.
You're right.
Let's see here. Yeah, you're right. Happened at King and Queen of the Ring.
But it was kind of a one-off, right?
Yeah.
It was pretty, like, I don't know, this could be more of a, because now that his Logan's, what do you call it? Character
time.
As it is a little bit more, is closer to full time, a little bit more established doing this stuff. Cody without a title, it could be more of a personal feud kind of thing. So it would be a marquee feud for a big event like a SummerSlam or something coming up, potentially.
Yeah.
Well, that's an option too.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some directions here. It's going to be, a fun show. The WWE have been putting together some pretty fun, like, PLEs, like these events have been quite enjoyable. I expect some big promo bits to be popping up throughout the show as well. Something probably happens. Maybe we get more Seth and Paul stuff. I don't know. There's always a possibility. But of course, we'll be keeping eyes on it, and we'll be talking about it next week right here on the show. And of course, that takes us to our final segment of the show. It is our rebooked 24/7 champion of the week, where we talk about the thing, person, place, thing, whatever that just brought us joy. It doesn't have to be pro wrestling related, can be pro wrestling related. It's completely up to you guys. I do want to go first, if that's okay, with you all.
Okay.
Because mine is very simple. It's Death Stranding. Okay. If you haven't played Death Stranding, please, if you have a desire to see things neatly organized into awesome shippable packages and then take those and then ship them across the countryside, okay, you haven't lived yet. Okay. You haven't lived. All right. Norman Reedus puts on one of the greatest performances as what is can only be diluted to an Amazon delivery service man on steroids. And it is amazing. OK, but it's also like a really, really fun game. Genuinely. Have you guys played Death Stranding? Have you tried it out? I know. A lot of people saw it and they were like, it's a walking simulator.
I know there's more to it.
It's more, but, and I get why people don't like it, but I've been hooked. And Death Stranding 2 comes out this month. So I'm
what
really
I love is that Death Stranding 2, in classic Kojima fashion, from everything I've seen, like, it's a lot more about like the action and the story gets even crazier and all this stuff. So the name of it isn't like Death Stranding 2, like, Invasion of them. It's Death Stranding 2 on the beach. Yeah. It has the same subtitle as like a 90s like comedy sequel. Like, oh, it's high, I don't know.
Key school on the beach.
Yeah, yeah, Key School like, too on the beach. You know what I mean?
And like, I agree Super with Troopers you. There too, is a story reason for why it's called on the beach.
But it just sounds funny.
Yeah, it
especially
does.
Considering all how crazy and like epic and everything just sits. Because
you
beach.
Would think that that would have been like the Dead Island Dead Island 2 theme.
Yeah,
name, you know what
like
I mean?
That.
Dead Island 2 on the beach, you know? Like, that sounds more reasonable, whereas like Death Stranding 2 on the beach. The beaches are like your mind thing where like you can transport from place to place. A beach is like a thing that every human has access to within their mind. It's a little bizarre. I'll be honest with you. Kojima's going to Kojima and just really pop as many edibles as you can and then just go for the ride, you know, and just see where it takes you. But yeah, that's my Rebook 24/7 champ. Anyone would like to go next?
Yes. I will jump on and steal. I don't know if anybody was going to take it, but it comes from a sad place, I guess, but I got to highlight him this week because he's one of the best to ever do it. One of the most entertaining to ever do it. Unfortunately, it looks like his run in WWE, at least for the time, everyone always comes back. R-Truth.
Yeah.
Ron Killings is leaving at the end of his contract. It seems they're not bringing him back. Very surprising. I thought he would be one of the few that actually just got to kind of go stay until retirement, but man, everybody was just putting him over this week and praising him, you know what I mean? Just he's so awesome, and he's a vampire, and he's kind and funny and like a pro and fun to work with in the ring, backstage. All the, everybody has nothing but wonderful things to say about him, and so shout out to my man Ronnie.
And to say it's the unfortunate realities of the capitalist, you know, corporate structure. And it really freaking blows if we're being completely honest here. Cause it's like, Truth is just awesome. He's just awesome. Like, he's so freaking talented. And I see people be like, oh, he's like 52 years old. How much more mileage? I'm sorry. Well, firstly, stop talking about people like their things, like they're people. Treat them with respect. That's one. Two.
And also, he's 53.
Yeah. And he looks incredible.
And three. He's, yeah, he looks unbelievable. He's 53 years old.
He looks and moves better than a lot of 35-year-olds.
Bro, yeah.
So like, he's one of the few. I don't look like that.
Normally, I get that argument. I'm like, but
my neck still hurts from sleeping on the couch 2 weeks ago. Okay?
Yeah.
This guy, he's timeless.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
He is legitimately timeless. Yeah. You know, I agree. I thought that was going to be mine too, because he just, I mean, hey, he made the 24/7 championship.
Oh,
so how can we not have him as our 24/7 champion? But I'm with you. I thought he was going to be there forever. I thought he was going to be like WWE's version of Mr. Johnson from Abbott Elementary.
Yeah.
Where he's just there
doing something,
says weird shit every now and then. You love to see him. And then he disappears. Like, that's, I just like
they say, nobody stays forever. But I thought he would be one of the few who maybe did, or at least until it was like, all right, until he decided I'm done. I'm going home.
Right.
I don't want to travel.
Yeah.
I'm retiring.
Yeah.
And we still don't know. Maybe there's a little, it doesn't seem like that was the case. Seems like it was a unilateral, decision, but, you never know if, and when he may come back. I feel like a Legends deal Hall of Fame induction at some point is a shoe-in.
Yeah.
He's also a former NWA TNA world champion.
That's true. Yeah.
But I want him, you know, if he goes to, I said this in our Discord, if he goes to AEW, I just want him to be in the background, like, confused.
Oh, yeah.
Until he starts going up to old WWE guys and he's like, where you been, man?
Yeah. I could see them having a lot of fun with that. I really could. I really though. I will be honest.
He tries to join Hurt Syndicate.
The Death Riders?
The Death Riders. I mean, dude.
I really do think that, like, he is the exception. Because, like, there have been some releases this week, and we don't, and just so people are aware, we don't cover that kind of stuff here. We focus on the show, focus on the stories, we focus on, like, the product that's being put out there, not, like, you know, the backstage politics and the rumors and everything. But obviously, you know, we're human and we watch these things, and, you know, it's the end of the show, so we could talk about this. But I was watching the interview that I think his name's Ariel Helwani did with Cora Jade. And I don't want to be that person, but if I'm AEW and I'm seeing this very talented individual talk about joining AEW and being very like, oh yeah, it's a good opportunity. It's a stepping stone, you know, like it's because that's how it felt and that's how it sounded. It's like, man, That's not what anyone should be viewing this as. You know, it's an opportunity to go and do some, continue your work, continue your craft, just do the thing you want to do. So that's why, like, if they do bring R-Truth, I actually think it would be really awesome if they were to continue the funny gimmick, the thing that he was doing, what you guys said. That is genuinely compelling. It's good TV. It's fun. I don't think that they're going to do it, but I think it would have been really dope. But I just hope, like, whatever happens, R-Truth is all right, because he's the freaking man. I've heard nothing but incredible stories about this man from friends at WWE and also, like, publicly. So, you know, you don't get a lot of people saying all that stuff publicly if it ain't true, you know what I mean? So yeah, truly is one of the best of us. So yeah, without a doubt, the person who inspired the Rebook 24/7 champion of the week,
that's right,
will be the Rebook 24/7 champion of the week, and dare I say, for potential forever champion. There you have it, folks. Shout out to you, R-Truth, Ron the Truth Killings, wherever you end up.
Right.
Hopefully, hey, it'd be sick to see him show up in TNA. I would even like to see him do that same thing, but in TNA. I think that'd be super fun. Like, he shows up Dolph Ziggler or Nick Nemeth. You know what I mean? Amazing. Exactly. Yeah. Like, he's like, yo, man, Dolph, I haven't seen you in a minute. You know, and like, I think that would be fun. Like, just give me one. Just give me one, and I'm okay with that. One of those bits, and I'd be fine with it. All right, everyone, that's gonna do it for us here today.
I mean, Aiden.
Dude, oh my god,
what are you doing here?
Would be hilarious. Oh my god,
you got Phillips here too.
That would be so crazy. That would be so crazy.
You don't sing anymore?
Yo man, I remember when you had hair.
Real.
Oh man. All right, guys, that's gonna do it for us here today. We thank you so much for tuning in. Please, if you would like to leave some feedback in the comments or even in our Discord, we encourage it. Just the four of us and our editor Scan, shout out to him, who's making these episodes happen. We would of course like to thank everyone for subscribing. Make sure you like the video if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you decide to get your podcast. Why don't you leave us a review? There are a couple of good reviews that we see down there, so thank you everyone. It's really, really awesome of you. And also, we want to let everyone know that if you want to follow us across all the different social media platforms, you can check us out at rebookpod.com. Thank you so much for watching. We'll catch you next Wednesday. Peace.